Well, besides the good news of the Gospel of St. Mark, there's also some good news to announce to you as far as we are concerned as a parish, in that next week we are going to be visited by the relics of St. Padre Pio of Pietrucina. They are having a world tour. Those relics are in the United States now, and we have been chosen because everybody wants the relics of Padre Pio. A relic is getting close to that which has been graced by way of the human body of a particular canonized saint. And so among the other things that are coming are chip of his bone from his body, and there's a habit that he wore, a glove that he had when he had the stigmata, and so on. It's quite a privilege to have such a visitation, because as he was called by Pope Paul VI, he's one of the greatest saints of modern times, as was St. Teresa of Lisieux, called at that time in her canonization one of the greatest saints of modern times. The reason that it impacts us, or me in particular anyway, is I was raised hearing about Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio, I should say. He comes from a part of Italy where my father's side came from, in the south. And so I was raised hearing all kinds of things about Padre Pio. He was gifted with the stigmata in his hands, his feet. They bled constantly. On Fridays, he had the crown of thorns. Also, he had the weeping from the lance in imitation of Jesus Christ, and that's what his stigmata is. Someone that is so identified with Jesus Christ in love and making our Lord a priority that they began to manifest in their own body the love that Christ had for the human condition in saving us from our sins in the passion of Jesus Christ. St. Francis of Assisi had this stigmata. St. Rita of Crescia had a form of it in that she wore the scars and the bleeding of the crown of thorns. There are many saints that have had this stigmata. And to bring it into the gospel, there's two paradigms that I would present to you. As I always say here, we live in a tension. I know you know that very well. You live it. But there is, it can be called a spiritual warfare. It can be called a conflict between the sarx, which is the Greek for the body and the flesh, and the pneuma, which is the Greek of the Holy Spirit, calling us to bless the sarx so that we become an instrument of peace, not a victim of our own weaknesses and temptation and sin, and maybe perpetuating that or influencing others to do the same. The model goes that there is the kingdom of God that begins for us, especially as far as the church is concerned in the scriptures, when we receive holy baptism. And then there is, in the universality of the human condition, the marketplace values. So there's the values of the kingdom of God, there's the values of the marketplace. Perhaps in the best of times since the past 2,000 years, not to mention the 4,000 years of the Judaic tension of the same and preparing for the incarnation, the kingdom of God is supposed to influence the marketplace. We have many times, and I believe we're living in them, it seems to me, that the marketplace is influencing the kingdom of God. In that as we, as the people of God, the body of Christ, the church, are the extension of Jesus Christ in time and space, we are called to hold on to the values of the kingdom of God, its principles, its precepts, the law of God that Jesus is talking about to a young man of the marketplace, versus an experience that Padre Pio had all of his life, because he had the stigmata in his body for 50 years and died only in 1968, he was a rich young man in the kingdom of God. The treasure that Padre Pio had is that, unlike the rich young man in Mark's gospel today, his total focus was on his faith in Christ. His great cry to everyone, if you will, especially for those who came to him from all over the world to go to confession, was, if you want peace in your life, pray, hope, and don't worry. His treasure, Padre Pio, was an absolute love of Jesus Christ, and consequently to live in imitation of Jesus Christ, who was known par excellence for his sacrificial life, for mortificare, which is the Latin for mortification, to cut off from that which is of the world that drives us into sin, because much is good about the world. It is created also in Genesis by the Father himself, who in those days we knew as Yahweh. Jesus comes along and informs us that the Creator is God the Father. He comes from the Father, and the two of them in time will send us the Holy Spirit. Send us the Holy Spirit so that we may be, in our treasure, rich young men and women who belong to the culture of life that is inside of the Catholic Church and indeed Christendom, and the principles of the kingdom of God bespeak in our actions and how we treat others. The big problem in Mark's gospel with this young man is this, and it's often lost unless we study it a little bit more further, and so many times we don't have a chance to do that. The background with this is, according to the scripture scholars, is that this young man who was rich did what a lot of people did in those days, do always, even in our own time. They worship their worries. They worship their anxieties and their fears. Consequently, because fear of loss and not trusting in God, Jesus, I trust in you, there's the message again through St. Faustina, that because of that, they put this possessions into a sense of a false idol. In this sense, he's constantly talking about me. I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. I. In the perception of Jesus Christ, bringing about the kingdom of God, is what are you doing for others, in this particular case, with your wealth? And he goes to extremes here. It constantly happens in the scriptures. This is hyperbole. He's exaggerating. Give it all away, he's saying. That's the kind of trust that Jesus is calling him to. What he really is saying to him, give what you have, share it with those who don't have anything or very little. Don't forget, in those days, there was no social network. There was no social security. There was no food pantries. There was no Catholic charities. People lived hand to mouth, literally many times. And yet part of the covenant in the Old Testament was you have to take care of those in need, particularly widows, orphans, and the poor who are starving. You have to take care of the tribe, which of course with him was all of our brothers and sisters. And this rich young man, it is said, according to the scripture scholars, was doing something that happens to us in the human condition. He was strictly into the marketplace. Oh, he was keeping the commandments, yes. But what has he done by way of the spiritual and corporal works of mercy to give to others what he has received? And so, like any of us, because of original sin, the sin of concupiscence, which means to be carnal or fleshy, certain appetites, we can hoard, we can distrust, we can withhold. And the whole concept would be, according to the scriptures, a point that Jesus makes in Mark's gospel is this, that if I'm hoarding what I can place is a tangible wealth, I'm probably withholding also my capacity for compassion, my love for the human condition and for others. If I am distrustful of the providence of God and the fact that he has already provided for me, and if past his prologue will continue as I go about what my responsibilities are in the marketplace, that God will continue to take care of me and us. And the expectation is then that you will have a ripple effect, throwing a stone in the pond, so to speak, and that you will, because you have your heart to the heart of Jesus Christ, help others out in whatever way you can, by way of your time, your talent, and your treasure. So the teaching is today, don't have false idols. And of course, we know that because of our culture, and we're busy about many things and with the worries about whatever's going on in our lives and the culture and the church, we can become distracted and forget the needs of others. By the way, just listening to someone that needs to talk is an act of respect. It's an act of love. Sustaining someone when they're having a particular crisis is an act of love. I talked about marriage and divorce last week. One of the things I found out in about 11 years altogether of having support groups for divorced and separated and widow and widowers is that people who were going through that felt disenfranchised by not only their friends, but their families. It's also if they come down with a disease like cancer or whatever. What you have or what's happened in your marriage might be catchy, so to speak, they think or feel, or that's the perception that comes across with those who are holding on to their crisis, who are experiencing something, even as a victim, let's say, it didn't bring about of their own. Maybe they did, but that's beside the point. We're called to have compassion. Compassion. And that's what this man lacked, apparently, according to Mark's gospel. So Padre Pio was very different in that. His treasure was Jesus Christ. And he offered up his sufferings and all that pain, which was quite profound, whenever he ministered to the people of God, vicarious atonement and redemptive suffering. He offered up his sufferings to make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of the body of Christ, the church. A lot of us were raised again with offer it up. We offer up and make sacrifice, which means to make holy, mortificare, to cut off that which is sinful or self-indulgent, or maybe a luxury that I don't need in my or our life. We offer up that sacrifice. I empty out of that so that I can be filled up. With grace for me, yes, but I call down conversion grace on those who are most in need of our intercessory prayer that happens when we go to Mass, when I make my penance after a good confession, when I pray my rosary, when I've sacrificed to get to Mass, when I might want to do something else entirely in a culture of convenience and entertainment. God has gifted and graced you to be here. How you must please him in being regularly at Mass and being here this morning. When somebody, so many, for whatever reason, choose not to be here, perhaps for very valid reasons, but what about those who can be here? God misses a member of the body of Christ, the church, who isn't there to join the priest in offering the cross in atonement for sin in the world whenever they don't come to Holy Mass. And consequently, conversion grace in its treasure being poured out on those who are victims of the culture is lacking. And I think someday we have to face the Lord for those omission of goodness and helping others. We do what we can in the providence of God. And we ask the Lord to continue to give us the grace to call on the communion of saints, particularly Padre Pio of Pietrelcina, a great saint, again, who only died September 23rd of 1968. There's a certain prayer that he asked people to pray constantly when they were caught up in this worry and that fear and this rage and this anxiety and whatever, concentrated and say it over and over and over again. It's an essence of the good news. Pray, hope, don't worry. I think that would come through St. Faustina as, Jesus, I trust in you.